things lately. I'm just trying to follow his lead. Next week, I'm continuing the series. Adam's going to start. I'm going to continue the series next week on crosswords. And I've got a powerful word to share with you. My word is sanctification. But I think this is what the Lord's been saying to me, and we're going to pray and just going to keep going here. I think next Sunday the Lord wants us to call it Bring Your Addictions to Church Sunday. Now, how crazy is that? Whatever your thing is, let's trust God between now and next Sunday that God will set anybody free from any kind of addiction and bondage you got going. Amen? So be free. Hallelujah. Free from the guilt and the shame and all the junk that goes with it. Amen? And I'm going to talk to you about guilt and shame a little bit today too. Let's take another moment and let's pray that in a season of just unbelievable questions and thoughts and feelings and all kind of stuff, let's pray that somehow in our nation and in our church that we can maintain the unity. Maintain unity, especially in the church. The world's going to do what the world's going to do. But let's pray in the church we maintain the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Amen? Come on, let's pray. Father, we do pray for every church. God, there are people on both sides of the aisle in most churches. But I pray, God, this is an opportunity for the church to maintain the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace and trust you. Lord, there's all kind of strong feelings all over the place on this thing. But, Lord, you're the person who sets up and takes down. And we trust you, God, that your will be complete and whatever that is. And your purposes will be achieved, that your kingdom would advance in all of this. And, God, help us to be diligent to pray not only for our church, but for our nation as well. God, help us not to pray our agenda, but yours. And we trust you for all of this, Father. Be glorified in it all. And may those around us that don't know you, may they see the reality of our faith through the way that we handle this and respond. Thanks, Father. Amen, friends. Amen. God bless you guys. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you, worship band. Appreciate it so much. Woo! Yeah, give it up for them. Yeah, these guys, they work so hard. Yeah, they came in yesterday and rehearsed and came in early this morning and rehearsed. You know, this week is Veterans Day. We just want to show you a quick video, and then we're going to pray for our veterans and just express our appreciation to them. But first of all, let's just go ahead and watch this 3-minute video, and then we'll pray for our veterans.
There are two types of freedom. One is a freedom that allows us to go where we want to go, to say what we want to say, to live where we want to live, and to dream big dreams and pursue them. Veterans over the centuries have sacrificed so much to obtain and preserve this precious freedom, which also includes the God-given right to worship our Creator anytime, anywhere. Which leads us to the other type of freedom, a greater freedom that can only be found in Christ, who died as a ransom to set us free. This is a freedom from a life of futility. Freedom from the tyranny of sin, regret, hate, and bitterness. It is the freedom to love God and to love your neighbor. We want to say many thanks to the veterans who have served to preserve our political freedoms, which allow us to freely worship our Creator, who gives us that greater freedom we all so desperately need.
Could I have all of our veterans stand, please? Look at this. Look around. Look around. Give them a round of applause because they deserve it. Thank you. Remain standing and let me pray God's blessing upon you. And we thank you so much for all that you've done. And I have personally never served. I've walked with you, but I have never served. But I'm glad to serve you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the honor of serving men and women who have served this country, who have served you, have tried to maintain their testimony while serving you in often harsh and difficult, many times lonely environments. We're grateful for their service. We're grateful for their sacrifice. We're better for it. And Lord, I would pray for every veteran that today, whether they're here, online, or around the world, that is dealing, Lord, with thoughts of suicide, or dealing with, God, feelings of tremendous loss. Some have lost marriages. Some have lost body parts. Some have lost career opportunities. Some have lost so much. And I pray that they would come to know the God who restores and renews. And even today, that veteran is struggling and considering ending their life, God, may they be interrupted by the power of your love right now. We trust you. Every veteran that's here with their family, God, may they continue to experience your power, your love, your life, and may that just spread into them, through them, and through their families and beyond. We trust you and we thank you, Father, so much. May your blessing rest upon them today and all of our veterans. We're so grateful. Thanks, Lord. Amen. Amen. Give them one more round of applause. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Thank you very, very much. We're honored to have you here, all of you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to honor the Lord with our giving. You know, the first song started, "For God so loved the world." That's that famous verse, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave." Why do we give tithes and offerings? Because he gave first. We don't give to pay him back. We give to honor him and to support his work. And when you're faithful in tithes and offerings, you support this work here and around the world. Hallelujah. Thanks for being faithful. Thanks for rising to meet the need. You hear me say this? You know what? There isn't a source outside of here. It's us. Hallelujah. Thanks for being faithful. There's plenty of ways to give, whether you want to give out there on the kiosk, you want to give online, there's ways behind me to give, simple ways to do that. Thanks so much for being faithful. Just real quick, like some opportunities. Wednesday night, we continue the series, Drive Through History. This has been so fun, walking with Paul through the book of Acts and his team and go to the places that he was and see the amazing things that God did through him on video. It's really been a fun series to do. We continue that along with Rangers and Impact and all the other stuff that happens on Wednesday night here. We have our annual Thanksgiving Eve. Say it with me, Eve. Eve, that's Tuesday, okay? It's not Wednesday, it's Tuesday, so just be aware of that. Guys, if you want to go racing, get the adrenaline pumping, here you go. Here's an opportunity. It's Friday, and it's a lot of fun. There's opportunity. You can register right online with that, so that's a lot of fun. Right now, a couple of our gals are going to come and sing, and then right after that, Adam is going to kick off the brand-new series, Crosswords. Ladies.
I've been held by the Savior, and I felt fire from above, and I've been down to the river, and I ain't the same, a prodigal returned. Oh, Jesus, thank God that and I've worn shackles and chains, and I've been freed and forgiven, and I'm not going back. I'll never be the same, and all
collect myself a little bit after that. Good morning, Seaport.
Good morning.
Got a question for you. Did you know that on the day of judgment, we are going to be called to give an account for every single careless and useless word we've ever said? It's true. Jesus said so in Matthew 12. Now, this should give us all a little bit of pause to think about how we speak, or maybe even type, on an everyday basis. I know that I can run off at the mouth if given the opportunity, so I have to make sure, and I have to check myself to make sure that everything I'm saying is not only truthful, but useful, and said in love. So we're going to do that corporately over the next couple of weeks in this series. We are going to get rid of all those useless and careless words, and we're going to replace them with new biblical vocabulary. And maybe even give some strength and some vitality to some words that we already know. And this is not meant to be academic. This is not meant to be tedious or anything of that nature. No, this is meant to bring us closer to God because we know more about God. So that's how I want you to leave here today feeling. I want you to feel nearer to God because you know more of who He is. I myself was very excited for this series. And I wanted desperately. I put my name in the hat real quick for this particular word. Today's word is propitiation. Say it with me. Propitiation. Yes. It is a beautiful word. It should give us hope. It should give us assurance. It should cause our love for God to deepen the more we come to understand it. And it's a 5-syllable word. It will win you any game of Scrabble that you play it in. I'm sure you've all heard phrases like, well, that's a $5 word. Propitiation is priceless. Propitiation is not a word that's used a ton in the Bible. And I'm sure there's some of you out there going, I've read the Bible. I have never seen that word before. It's only used 4 times in the New Testament. And I'm an ESV guy, so I do see it in mine. But maybe your Bible says something like sacrifice or atonement or atoning sacrifice. And those things are true. Those phrases, those words, they're true and they're good. But propitiation is more than that. It's deeper than that. It just means so much. It means to make favorably inclined, to appease, and to overcome the hostility of. So really, just in that definition alone, we can start to see how it's more than just a sacrifice, how it's more than just atonement, because the Old Testament believers, when they made sacrifices, yeah, those sacrifices got them out of the proverbial doghouse. Those sacrifices kind of wiped the slate clean with God for a very short amount of time. But propitiation overcomes the hostility of God for our sins in a permanent way. Propitiation takes us from a child of wrath to a highly favored child of God. It takes us from a life that is racked with guilt and shame, and it moves us into a life that is filled with growth and with worship. All 4 times it's used in the New Testament, it refers to Christ as a propitiation for those who believe that he is the Savior. The best explanation of this in the Word for us that believe is found in Romans chapter 3. This is another reason why I'm very excited to preach to you this morning, because we get to go from one of my favorite books of the Bible, Romans. So let's go there in those Bibles that I know you brought with you this morning. Romans chapter 3, I'm going to start in verse 21 and read through verse 26. But now the righteousness of God has been made manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the beauty of your word this morning, God. I pray that you would help us to see it more clearly, that you would help us to truly revel in its beauty this morning. God, I am unworthy to preach your word. I am a man of unclean lips, Lord, but I pray that you would use me this morning despite of myself. God, I ask that you would open our eyes to see what it is that you have to show us. Open our ears, God, so that we would hear what you have to tell to us. Sharpen our minds, that we would understand your word all the more. God, that this would not be done for our own benefit, Lord, but for your glorification, for the furtherance of your purposes and your kingdom, and that the name of Jesus would be lifted high. Amen. This passage of Scripture is beautiful. And its beauty is really only matched by how enlightening it is for us. Paul just lays out the gospel in such an elegant way. And this is why I love the book of Romans so much, because it's just the language of the attributes of God are just, it's gorgeous. You get words like justice, words like divine forbearance, glory, righteousness, redemption. Hear these words this morning and realize that they describe the God that we are here to worship. So let's tease this apart. Let's see what propitiation really means for us, why it's able to be accomplished, how it shows us God's perfection. Paul lays out what true saving faith is. He says God's righteousness is revealed apart from the law of God, even though the Old Testament law and the prophets show this fact. They show his righteousness. So this isn't Paul saying that the law is negated. No, this is Paul showing us that the law of God was never really meant to save. He goes over it earlier in the chapter. He says that the law is meant to bring us, make us realize our sin. And we can see this. We can bear this out, because if you look at what's the most important commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And no one has been able to accomplish that for even a second of their lives. So by definition, the law can't save us. It just brings us our inability to know what it is to fulfill it. And this is why we need grace. This is why the righteousness of God is found outside the law. But at the same time, the law of God bears witness to that righteousness, because it shows us what God truly deserves. It shows us what a life that lived to the righteousness of God would be. And there's a catch. Usually when someone says that there's a catch, that's the bad thing. But in this case, it's a good thing. See, because this time, the catch is Jesus. Jesus lived every single second of his life fulfilling every single part of the law. There wasn't a fraction of a second where Jesus didn't love the Father with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is what allows him to be the propitiation for us sinners. Jesus is the only person to ever live a sinless life. Jesus is the manifestation of God's righteousness in the flesh. So while the law of God laid out what it would take to live a life righteous to God, Jesus lived out a life that is righteous before God. And Paul wrote that the prophets also testified to the fact that the righteousness of God is found outside of the law of God. And if we look at Isaiah 1, we can see an example of this. God says to the Hebrews, he says, I don't want any more of your sacrifices, and your incense is an abomination to me. You got to imagine, right? There's a bunch of Hebrews down there going, what? God! You said, bring me burnt offerings. We brought you burnt offerings. And that incense, that's an abomination to you now? We just followed your instructions on the fragrance. God's showing them that their heart wasn't in it anymore. These laws were meant to show them how much they needed God. The sacrifices were meant to show them the grievousness of their sin, so that they would give the sacrifice and call out to God for forgiveness and reach out for his grace, knowing that he loves his covenant people. And the prophets also tell about the coming of Jesus. They tell about the one who will bring redemption and reign eternally, because it's Christ's righteousness that saves, not the works of the law. And that's good news, friends. That's good news, because that is grace. That is freedom. And it shows that God knows us. God knows we're going to fall short. God knows that we can't fulfill the law. God knows the heart of each and every person in this room this morning. Yet, he offers us redemption anyway. That's good news. Paul says, we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God, and there is no distinction between any of us. God is glorious. We are not. We are not in his category. He is wholly different from us. And we need to internalize this truth in order to see Christ rightly. And the reason that repentance must come along with saving faith is because we need to know that we can't fulfill the works of the law. We need to know that we need a Savior. And I know that I beat this sin drum every single time I'm up here, at least for a little while. Sometimes for 30 minutes straight. But it's important. It's important because the more we realize it, the less we want of ourselves, and the more desperate we become for Christ. The more we realize how worthy he truly is, the more we realize how glorious he is and deserving of our worship. The more we realize that we want to be more like Christ, the more we realize that we want to be pleasing to God. The basis for saving faith is the realization and the renouncing of sin, to follow the one who lived a sinless life. And ladies and gentlemen, that saving faith is a gift. That redemption is a gift. That forgiveness of our sins is a gift, because we can't afford it by works of the law. There's different kinds of gifts, though, right? There's those gifts that you get that bring tears to your eyes, that give you this look. And maybe it's because of the beauty of the gift. Maybe it's because you know what the price tag of that gift was. And maybe for women, think of it as a really nice piece of jewelry, right? Or for men, maybe it's a nice watch. I don't know that this is really the crowd for that. Maybe it's a shiny new drill. And there's utility. There's utility to these gifts, you know. But let's be honest, they probably weren't bought for you because of their utility, right, gentlemen? You've already got a drill, and it works just fine. Okay, so. But then there are those gifts that we can really use, those practical gifts, and we're still happy when we open these gifts, right? You go. But it's a different reaction. You say, oh, thank you. I can really use this. Or, hey, this is going to come in handy. See, salvation is a gift that when we open it, we should react to it like a diamond. But we should use it every day like that blender. But here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. Every time we use it, that diamond, it shones all the brighter. We thank God for it more and more because we realize how much we truly needed it. And we realize we never could have afforded it for ourselves. God affords us this gift. God affords us salvation by offering up his son to death. A death so he could be infinitely just in punishing our sins, but abounding in grace and love for his creation by offering us forgiveness. Made it available through Christ as our propitiation, as our hilasterion, a sin offering by which the wrath of a deity shall be appeased, a means of propitiation. Now you're going, Adam, I was with you until you used that word. I didn't understand. It's Greek, hilasterion. And why do I use the Greek word? I use it because, well, that would be the word that Paul would have used in the original letter to Rome. And if you're like me and you only speak one language, it's hard for us to think conceptually, especially if it's just English, because we only have like one word for each thing. But if you look at Hebrew or Greek, words like worship and praise, they have many different words. So here, the Greek word, it gives us a better view of the nuance, of the beauty, and of the power of Christ's sacrifice. The Greek shows us that the atoning sacrifice is just a means by which propitiation takes place. Hilasterion, it gives us a greater concept of the entirety of what the translated word propitiation is. It's a sacrifice that takes the punishment for all our sins. Meanwhile, it allows us to receive favor from God because that sacrifice is also enough to overcome his hostility for our sins. It brings us eternal peace with God. It reconciles us to God. It cloaks us in Christ's righteousness. In Colossians, Paul says that upon salvation, our lives are hidden in Christ with God. Upon salvation, we are in Christ, and we are never to be seen as our own selves again. It moves us from enemies of God into being loved, adopted sons and daughters. Instead of wrath, we get justification. And that justification isn't just a not guilty verdict. We receive the righteousness of God outside of the law of God. And there's no double jeopardy. We can no longer be accused. Our sins are gone. They are removed from us and they are forgotten. But how? How can this be? How can this be? Because I've sinned since I was saved. How is it that I can no longer be accused if I've sinned? We are lucky because we worship a God that exists outside of time. We praise a God that can see all things at all times. And in Christ's death on the cross, he punished every single sin, past, present, and future. And in our text, Paul uses the phrase divine forbearance. He said, God passed over the sins of the Old Testament believers in the coming Messiah so that his justice would be seen in the time of Christ's death. And now that same concept flows in the other direction. God knows the sins that are going to be committed, and he punished all of those sins in the time of Christ's death. Christ took the punishment for every single sin of every believer in that moment. And this is confusing. It's confusing to us because we think, well, Christ lived a perfect life. He lived in communion with God. He went, he died bodily on the cross. Sin is punished. We're good. But that's not really it. That's not enough. Because, you see, Christ's sweat blood praying that that cup would be taken from him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we know that martyrs went to their death on a cross singing hymns. So we know that the Lord of this world, the Lord of creation, the Son of God, is not sweating blood thinking about his death on a Roman cross. No, he asked God to take that cup from him because he knew what was in the cup. And that cup contained the wrath of Almighty God for every single sin that was committed before him from the beginning of all things to the day that he will come again. Every single sin brought to bear on Christ's head in that moment. He is the only one that could take it. He is the only one who could accomplish it. And he did this so that every transgression would receive the punishment it deserved, and so that God could offer us forgiveness. So God could offer us redemption. He could offer us salvation, knowing that we couldn't do it for ourselves, but we praise the one that could take it for us. Christ is offered up as a propitiation for our sins, past, present, and future. They are blotted out. They are removed from us. And this needs to cause us to run to God when we do sin. We wouldn't want any different from our children, right? If they realize that they've done wrong, we don't want them hiding from us. We want them to come to us. Dad, I've done something wrong. And we may need to chastise them, but it's because we want them to do better. It's because we want them to be closer to us. It's because we want them to know our love for them. And we do the same thing with our Holy Father. Father, I've sinned. I've sinned, Lord. Forgive me. And he says to us, come to me. I'm not going to punish you. Christ took that punishment. I love you. You are forgiven. Go forth and sin no more. How can this not create a deep change in us? How can this not give us an overflow of such gratitude for all that he's done? Cause us to be loyal, to be thankful, to love God with everything we have. The propitiation of Christ has taken us from enemies to loved sons and daughters of God. So we need to go out and live our lives as such. And we need to tell people that God is always looking to adopt more wayward children. young, old, man, woman, regardless of your race or your ethnicity, regardless of your socioeconomic status, God offers salvation to any who will repent and believe and follow Christ. Isn't he good? The blood of Christ is the only thing that can save a sinful world. It's the only reason why a holy God can look at wretches like you and I as righteous. Christ is enough. Christ is enough. He's always been enough. Eternally, he is enough. He is the spotless lamb. He is the suffering servant. His blood, his shelter, his peace, his redemption, his assurance is offered to anyone who will repent and believe upon his name and follow him. I'm going to ask the band to come back and we're going to stand. If you're in this room this morning and you're feeling that conviction, and maybe you're feeling it for the first time, you say, God, I need your forgiveness. God, I want to follow Christ. God, I am living in guilt and shame, and I don't want to live that way anymore. Maybe you're a Christian and you are feeling the guilt and the shame coming back in. Well, we are going to pray that those chains are broken off you, because Christ is enough. You are forgiven. Stand with me as we pray this way. Lord God, thank you. Lord God, thank you that you are holy, that you sent your Son to be punished in our place for all of our sins, past, present, and future. God, we realize our sin. We know that we cannot fulfill your law, Lord. And you are gracious. Yet you are gracious to us, and we thank you for that grace. God, help us. Help us to run to you, Lord. Help us not to run from you. We cannot hide from you, God. Help us not to want to do that. Help us to run to you, to lay our sins down and to move forward in the grace that your Son has provided for us. Help us break from us these chains of guilt and shame and replace them with your grace. And with a knowledge of that grace, that we would offer it to our families, offer it to our brothers and sisters, offer it to those that don't know you, that they would come to know you. God, that we would rejoice in them, that your kingdom would move forward, that we would rejoice in them, that more people would come to know your glory, that we would rejoice with them as the name of Jesus is lifted up a little bit higher in this world, and as we see things start to change as one soul is added to your book of life. Brothers and sisters, if that's you, and you are hearing this for the first time, and you are coming to this knowledge the first time this morning, let me be the first to welcome you. Praise God that you are here this morning to hear this, and that he has softened your heart to move you into relationship with him. Thank you, Lord. thank you, Lord, for your grace. Amen.
Thank you, Adam. Let's sing this song and then we'll all come back and we'll be dismissed. But if you're here today and you can connect with us if you're brand new and you just want to connect with us, you can text that way to do that. That's the easy way to do it. To welcome the number. Or maybe you're today saying, you know what, I need to step into a relationship with God through Christ. I need to experience forgiveness of sins. And today you're saying, that's what I need to do and that's what I'm doing. The best way to connect with us is just to text the word new life to that same number. And that's a great way for us to connect. And see, and that way we can help you grow in that relationship. You're just stepping on the path today. And that's a great thing. Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing this and then I'll close this out.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. Where all I'm
we get ready to close, we say this to you. It's like one day you came before the Lord and he said, this is your file. You see all these things? These are your sins. These are things that you have against me. But he goes, you know what happened to that? Because of Christ, this is your file. He looks down and he goes, I don't see anything. The blood of Christ has washed it away. That's what you experience. If you haven't, I challenge you today to step in. Father, even right now, for those of us, God, who know your great love, may we just appreciate that and be so grateful for it and walk in that. And for those of us, oh God, that today are stepping onto that path, God, may our file, as it were, be completely changed as we ask for your forgiveness and healing, and you give it to us so freely. We thank you, Father. Amen, friends. Connect with us. A great way to do that is New Life, 860-969-2145. That's the easy way to do it. Or tell somebody at our information center. Thanks, Lord, for this chance to be together. Dismiss us as we now go. As you leave now, friends, please consider wearing a mask as you depart. Don't forget your kids. And, it's a beautiful day. Talk to somebody outside. That'd be great. I'm just going to go ahead and release you as we've normally been doing it. Those two side sections against the wall, you guys can go first. Just kind of head right out, get your kids. And then in just a moment, I'm going to release these two sections, and you can head out of here. God bless you. Thanks so much for being here. We're trusting God. Come and join us Wednesday night and the next Sunday. It'd be great.